I get to moving around, I'm liable to have this wrapped around my neck. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and find verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. When you get it, say amen.
Amen.
I don't hear too many. Come on now.
Amen.
All right. This verse says, what shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can oppose God? Who can stand against God? Who can defeat God? Who can stop God doing what he wants to do? Who? Who can stop God working through this church? Who? He might cause trouble, but he can't stop God. No way in the world. He tried once and he lost. Can't do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love and grace and mercy. Thank you for the goodness. Take this message. Drive it in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit and open our understanding and open our receptors for the glory of Christ. His name I pray. Amen. Man, we love everything from apple pie to Christmas to family to kids. We just love, 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 love. We love one another. What do we mean by that word, love? I mean, it's like super used around our world. Teenagers fall in love. I mean, they just goofy for a while. Old folks fall in love and they get goofy for a while. What do we mean by that? People fall in love and then fall out of love. The true definition of love, you can't fall out of it once you're in it, if you really were in it to start with. What do we mean by love? What do we mean by God's love? Are we talking about the same kind of love as loving apple pie with ice cream on top? Or blackberry cobbler? Or prime rib? Baked potato? Homemade bread? I mean, I love all them things. But I'm not going to sacrifice for them. I love my wife, I'd sacrifice for her. I love my kids, I'd sacrifice for them. To a point. They've grown now. Somebody else's responsibility to sacrifice. What do we mean when we say God is love? I mean, is he ooey and gooshy and all of that stuff? Does he not have any kind of resistance? Is there no anger in him? Is he always just, everything's hunky-dory all the time? If we think that's the kind of love God is, we've got the wrong image of what Scripture says. Scripture says God's angry with the sinner every day. If you're rebelling against God, he loves you, but he's also disciplining you, and he's angry with you. And there's coming a great white throne judgment, and everybody's name who's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will spend eternity in a place called hell, and it's not a party. I've had men tell me, well, I want to go to hell. I said, why? Man, it'll be a party. There'll be all kinds of drinks and women down there. And them women to go to hell, they're open and free, man. I said, you crazy and lunatic. Hell's dark and black. You can't even see anybody. Not only is it dark and black, you're on fire. And you can't put it out. Not only that, the maggot is eating on you 24/7, 365, for eternity. And not only that, you'll be totally separated from God, and you'll have no blessing of God on your life. None. That'll be the worst of it all. So if God is love, why does he send anybody to hell? I've heard that. I've been told that. If God really is love, why do people get to go to hell? Well, you chose not to love God. You chose not to surrender your life to him. You chose to live in your sin. It's a choice you make. I want to talk to you about God as love. If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul's writing here a dynamic message. I want to ask some questions. Is God really for us? I mean, is he? Why do I have problems? Why am I not driving a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce if God's for me? Why do I have a limited bank account if God's for me? I mean, I ought to be able to write a $1 million check and it not bounce. They'd laugh at the bank. They think that's so funny. The guy across the road, he'd just giggle. Wouldn't go nowhere. Is God for us? Why do I have sickness? Why do I have problems? You don't know what I went through to get here this morning. I mean, every time I did something, Satan tried to trip me up. Every time. Finally, I sat down and I said, Jesus, I know what the assignment is, and I know who's trying to stop it. You got to help me, or I'm going to come unglued. No need to do that. My old nature will show up. It's not good. Don't want that to happen. If God is really for us, think about that. You got a good friend. I mean, they are bosom buddy friend. And you're thinking, you know, if I had a problem, that friend would help me with that problem. And you're going through life, and up pops this problem. And you go to that friend and say, now this is what's happened in my life. I need you to get my back on this. And they would say, sorry, I don't think so. Huh? We've been friends for 20 years. We've talked about everything under the sun. You know things about me that my wife don't know. You know things about me my husband don't know. What do you mean? Sorry, I don't think so. We'd walk away feeling hurt, betrayed. If God's not for us, if we come into a problem and God's not there, we're going to feel betrayed by God. Some folks do. They get overwhelmed with trials and tribulations. They get overwhelmed with pressure of life. They get overwhelmed with illness. And they say, where's God? I wasn't ready for my spouse to pass away. Where's God? How come he didn't intervene? He knows I need that. Where is he? Did he really love me? If he'd have loved me, he wouldn't let that happen. Is God for us? This passage has a if question here. In our English today, if is, well, he may be or not be. Well, I don't know. It's not so in Greek. In the Koine Greek, we would understand it today, since God is for us. Since God is for us, who can be against us? Boy, that changes things, doesn't it? I mean, if the creator of the world and universe is for me, there is no power anywhere in the world that can be against me that doesn't have his permission. You see, I can't experience any trial, any tribulation, any heartache, any pain, any suffering that God doesn't know about and God has let it happen for the purpose of making me stronger and growing me as counseling a person. And we're talking. And we're having tea. Well, I was having tea. They were having Coke or something like that. And they said, all the trouble I've had in life, I now realize God let it happen to make me stronger spiritually. I go, you got it. It is not fun at all. There is nobody I know who's experiencing trials and tribulations and hard things going, yeah, I'm so glad this has happened to me. I don't know of anybody doing that. A lot of times we go, woe is me. Look what's going on in my life. There are those who just get quiet and kind of crawl in their own cocoon for a while. And that's okay. Just don't shut God out of the cocoon. Because he's for you. He's on your side. They got a commercial on TV. Shaq is with some kids and they're choosing basketball players. And this girl chooses Shaq. And he goes, good deal. These kids don't even come to his knee. Who's going to win? Well, Shaq is. God's for you. He's Shaq. You're the little kid. You don't even come to his ankle, okay? He's for you. You can't lose. Square Parsons singing, I call it home. Oh, some call it heaven. They call it a lot of things, but I call it home. Some refer to the man upstairs. There's no upstairs. There's a third heaven. I ain't walking. Poof. I'm out of here. I'll move faster than the speed of light. 186,300 per second. That's fast. And when you move spiritually, you move faster. It's like thinking about it and you're there. Is God for us? Yes! He is for us. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Well, Satan has no power. He's very limited in what he can do. He showed through all scripture. He's limited in his power. Oh, he's stronger than you and me, and he's quicker than you and me, and he has a force greater than you and me, but it's not greater than the one who lives in us. Jesus. He put him to death on the cross. He buried him in a tomb. God brought him out. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for you and me. The next question is, can God forsake us? I mean, there are times when I think, Lord, where are you? Do you really know what's going on in my world? Well, there's a passage of scripture I want to read to you. Pretty powerful. If I can get my pages to separate. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. Those born not of flesh and blood, but born of the Spirit of God. You born of flesh and blood sitting there in the seat. Life's in the blood. You have that. If you're still breathing. Y'all breathing? But when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and you call upon him and repent of your sins, you are born of the Spirit of God in the twinkle of an eye. There's a transformation taking place inside you. You no longer belong to the world. You no longer are a dead man. You are alive in Christ. You are a new creation, 2 Corinthians says. Old things have passed away. All things become new. What you cannot change about your life is that you were born. Your parents may disown you. They may write you out of the will. They may go to court and get a legal document that says, Danny Decker is not my child. But I'm here to tell you, they cannot change my DNA. Come on now, hang with me. Your DNA cannot be changed. There's folks in northern Missouri whose last name is James. Relative close to Jesse James. I see the document. They've got it on the wall frame. There was so much trouble over the James gang that family members were being assaulted. And so they went to court and had their name changed from James to something else. But you can't change your DNA. And when you're born of the Spirit of God, that spiritual DNA can never be changed. God can't forsake you because you've been born of the Spirit. You're his child. Now, he may discipline you. He may put you in time out. He uses both kinds, you know. The swat on the bottom. I've been there. I mean, he can give you a good licking. He could also put you in time out. And then you get to that place where you say, God, where are you? Where are you at? Where he's always been. The one that's walked away is you. You've stopped reading and praying and witnessing and worshiping. And so you feel like God's far away. But he's not. He's right there where you walked away from. Can God forsake you?
No. Never. He won't do it. Because you are his child.
Is God really for us?
Yes.
Can God really forsake us?
No.
Can God guarantee grace to us? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. We don't earn God's justification. It's by grace. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Grace. I don't deserve it, but he gave it to me. You don't deserve it, but he gave it to you. Now suppose I do you wrong, and I come to you and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And you do. And you go on and treat me as though nothing happened. That's grace. That's grace. God looks at you and me, and when we repent of our sins, the sin and the wrongs put on Christ, and Christ's righteousness is put on us. And when we go to him and we say, Father, I messed up and I've done wrong, he forgives us. That's grace. That's grace. If I broke something that belonged to Dad and I shouldn't have had it to start with when I was growing up on the farm, if I took what I broke to him and told him and said, I'm sorry, Dad, I know I got it coming, he only extended grace. But if I tried to hide it and he found it, there was absolutely no grace. Woodshed time. You and I get grace from God when we give to him. He always gives us grace because we're his child. It's his nature. It is his character. It is who he is. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? We don't live like that in America. We don't have anybody putting us outside because we're Christian. We don't have anybody taking our clothes away from us because we're Christian and making us run around naked. They did. We don't comprehend that world. We don't worry about the apple pie or the cobbler or the prime rib or the baked potato, because we can get one somewhere. If you're out living in the ditch, it's only a memory, because you don't have any money and you don't have any clothes and you wonder how you're going to keep warm or who's going to come along and throw rocks at you. God's grace is extended to his children. There is always grace. Look at verse 38, 39. Paul makes a statement here that he's betting his life on. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He stretched those arms out on the cross.
He came because the Father sent him. He entered our wicked, terrible world, sinless Son of God. Took on flesh and lived with sinners. The prostitutes and the thieves and the robbers loved him because he showed them grace. The lady caught in adultery, laying there. She was stark naked. She didn't have clothes on, folks. Get the real picture. Jesus said, "He that's without sin cast the first stone." From the old to the youngest, slowly the rocks start hitting the ground because there wouldn't have one of them without sin. The only one who could have condemned her said, "I don't either. I don't accuse you. I'll give you grace. Get up. Don't do this anymore." Now, I'm pretty sure she's set up by the yo-yos. But she was still guilty because she did it. And the men were guilty as well. Grace. God will extend it to you. There's coming a day when the world will no longer have grace from God. But until then, we got grace. All kinds of grace. What kind of world are you living in right now? In your life, in your family, in your home, in your business? Are you caught in despair? Loneliness? Trials? Questioning God? Why? If you're His child, you have a special love relationship with Him that cannot be taken away. You can read this passage of Scripture with the apostle and get happy feet. I don't care. If you don't get happy feet, you need to go back and check the level of your spiritual life with the Father. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death..." We all got that coming. "Life now, angels, nor principalities, nor powers, Satan's things, nor things present, nor things to come." Whatever we're experiencing today in trials and tribulations, and hallelujah, it's raining out there. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If God gave His Son and had Him nailed to the cross, what more can He do to say, "I love you"? Do you know He knows your thought life? And He still loves you. Wow. What a Savior. What love we have in Christ. Father, you know our hearts. You know what we have and what we experience and what trials we go through and what tribulations we're battling. If there's anyone here living in despair or loneliness or trials, and they feel like no one cares, help them to understand you care and you love them greater and more than anybody in the world could love them. And your love's authentic, not fake. It's real. touch their hearts. Lead them to the place they need to be. In Jesus' name, amen.